Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Open up the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. Chapter number 23 of the book of Samuel. And I'm going to read a few verses right here, starting in verse number 20. And like I said before, I am thankful for the opportunity to get to preach. I don't ever want to take it for granted, the calling that God placed on my life. I don't ever want to take it for granted for the place I get to stand, the church I get to serve in. I don't ever want to take that for granted. And I'm so thankful to the Lord, but I'm thankful for the church that trusts me. The parents just bring their kids and just hand them to us, and they trust us with them. And the pastor, he trusts us with all the kids. And I'm just thankful, and I thank every one of you. But if you've got your Bibles, look in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. We'll begin reading in verse number 20. And the Bible says, "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many great acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of the pit in the time of snow. He slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him and with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he obtained not to be the first three, and David set him over his guard." Lord, I thank you for what you do for us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for being God, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for all the goodness you've showed us, God. I thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace, God. God, I thank you, God, for sending your son to Calvary, God, to die for an old wretched sinner like me, God. God, I just praise your holy name tonight for everything you do, Lord. God, I pray, God, you'll touch us tonight, God. I pray, God, you'll help us, Lord. Give me power and unction from on high, God. Anoint me, God. God, I pray, God, you'll hide me behind the yoga cross, God. Use me in a mighty, mighty way tonight, God. God, I pray, God, for every person that's here, God, and every person that's at home, God, that's allowed us into their house, God. I pray, God, that you will get all the distractions away, God. I pray, God, you'll just get set everything to the side just for a little while, God. And God, let the kids be quiet, God. Let the cell phones quit ringing. God. God, I pray, God, that you just get our mind on you just for a little while, God. I know it may be different for some sitting in their home, God, but I pray, God, that you'll enter into their house right now, God. God, to tickle their heart right now, God, to really get serious about the service tonight, God. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This has really become one of my favorite studies. And it's by the man of Benaiah. The man named Benaiah, and he was one of David's mighty men. Benaiah was a man who was tough. I believe if you looked at him today, he would be a man's man. When he spoke to you and he shook your hand, that's this thing that we used to do back in the olden days where we stuck our right hand out and the other person stuck their right hand out and we squeezed and we shook hands. That's what that is, if you didn't know what that was. It's outdated now. But anyway, if he shook your hand, he had that handshake. Brother Aaron, you know what I'm talking about. He had that handshake. He had that man's handshake. And that's what he was. He was a man's man. He wasn't no sissy. David wouldn't have put him over his guard if he wasn't a sissy. Or if he was a sissy, David wouldn't have done it. He was a man's man, and that's what Benaiah was. He is one of David's mighty men. He was the son of a valiant man. He is the man who had done many great acts according to the Bible. So there's things that Benaiah done that we don't even know about. The Bible just tells us a few things about it. Benaiah was a strong man. But here's the thing. He was man. He was still man. I'm not trying to place Benaiah as a god or anything like that. He was just a man. All right? So just, I want to clear the air there. But he was a man of valor. He was a man of valor. And a man that probably faced a lot of fears. A man that probably stood in times when he was extremely scared. And I was thinking about some times back when I was scared. I'll be the first to admit, last Wednesday, when they stormed the Capitol, I'm not lying, I was not fearful for what was going to happen to me, but what was going to happen to this beloved country that I love? What's going to happen for this country that my son's going to grow up in? That's what I was fearful for. I trust God, but there's a part of me that says, what is Colt going to see? What are these other youngins going to see? And I think that with this message tonight, if you'll grab a hold of it, we'll be able to raise our kids the right way. We'll be able to be our way and do what God called us to do and not be cowards, not run and hide, but stand up for God And if you're ever going to stand, if there's ever been a time where we're going to have to stand up for God, I believe it's coming very shortly. I believe there's going to come a time where we're going to have to take a stand and stand up and say, I choose God. I choose Jesus of Nazareth. You're going to have to say, I love my Bible. I hang on to my Bible. That's why I believe in the Bible. There's going to come a time when we're going to have to do that. But I was thinking of some times when I was scared, and that was one time. Then I thought about September 11th, 2001. I'd say most of everybody can remember where they were at September 11th, 2001. I was in the fifth grade class at the elementary school in Mountain Park. And I remember sitting there not really knowing what I was watching, and it didn't get real until we got out of school early. And it really didn't get real until Mom and Daddy met me in the driveway. And then I knew something was up when we all went to church and prayed. And the church had quite a few people in there praying that night for our country. I noticed something that was different. The church people was in church because it was a Wednesday night when they stormed the Capitol. There wasn't a whole turn to God like we've seen before. I see the church people getting right. I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but if you watch people's Facebook posts, they kind of switched gears a little bit. A lot of Christians was getting their mind off the election. Now, I know I ain't trying to preach that Facebook's right and everything, but I'm just saying I noticed it in some people's, the way they were wording things on Facebook. People who were talking about politics were talking about Jesus. And that's what needs to happen. That's the correct things that need to happen. But I was thinking about some times that I was scared in my life. And I was thinking about when I didn't know what to do. I remember this past year was we went to the doctor when we knew the baby was more than likely we was going to lose the baby. And I remember that fear that was over me. Oh, but that peace that was there with me as well, that everything was going to be okay. I know that was there. And I believe Benaiah, when he stood there in fear, he had that same peace. He had that same peace. I want to talk tonight about Benaiah. I want to talk tonight about tonight and about being a lion chaser. About being a lion chaser. Where are my lion chasers out there? Where are the Lord's lion chasers? Let me say it like that. Where are the Lord's lion chasers at? Benaiah was a lion chaser. We're going to look at it. He was a man of valor, for a way of introduction. He was a man of valor because of some things. Number one, because of his company. Because of his company, the people that he put around him. He was a man of valor because of the people that he put around him. He was a man of valor because of what he stood for and the man that he was. Look at this right here. He was one of 30,000 who faithfully served King David. I believe that anytime David was on the run, Benaiah probably wasn't far with him protecting him. Benaiah was his right-hand man. He was his right-hand man. He was one of 30,000. He was one of 30 of David's mighty men. One of 30. But not only was he one of 30, but he was one of three of David's mightiest men. And the Bible says he was put over his guard. And I believe the reason he was put over his guard because he really didn't want the job. The Bible says right there, he talked about it right there, he said he really didn't want the job. He really didn't want to do it. But David seen that and seen that he was humble and said, you know what, that's who I want over my guard. That's who I want protecting me. But he was like that because of his company. He was one of David's mighty men. He even served as David's bodyguard later on. And we know that he became, even after David passed on and Solomon took the kingdom, he became the guard over Solomon's bodyguard. Is what he became. So we see that he was a man of valor because of his company. If we're ever going to be men of valor, if we're ever going to be men that God wants us to be, we're going to have to surround ourselves with the right people. We're going to have to surround ourselves with the right company. I believe it's Brother Allen. I know our pastor, Brother Jonathan, has said it a bunch, is that you are now or will soon become what your friends are. That's what you are. You will now or will soon become what your friends are. So you got to be careful of the people who you are around. You got to be careful of the company that you keep. And I believe Benaiah was careful of the company that he kept. He was careful enough that he ended up being one of David's three mightiest men. Mightiest men, that's what he was, a man of valor. Not only was he a man of valor because of his company, he was a man of valor because of his cause. He knew his purpose. He loved to serve David. Very interesting story about Benaiah. There was a time in 1 Chronicles chapter number 11 where David was in the cave. And David was in the cave and he needed some water. So he sent his mightiest men, Benaiah being part of them, through the enemy lines to go get him some water. I'd probably question him right there, first of all. Is this water over here not good enough? I'm sure we can. It'll rain in a day or two. Let's not make us fight through there. But Benaiah didn't question. He put his head down and done what the man of God told him to do. He just went and went on. He went what he was told to do, his task ahead. He went and attacked it, and he hit it, and he went through the enemy lines. He gets the other side of the enemy lines, and they get water. And they bring the water back through the enemy lines. And when he gets it back to David, he hands it to David. And what does David do with it? Pours it out on the ground. And at that point, I'd have been gone. I'd have said, oh, Saul, he's got this thing figured out over here. Let me go over here with Saul. But Benaiah didn't. We find that he was still serving the man of God. You know what? If God takes my life and I make a waste out of it, I make a waste out of my life and I fail God every time I turn around and God takes all my blessings and pour them out on the ground, he's right in doing that. And you know what my job is to do? I still love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I'll serve you, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I'll serve you, Lord. We need some men like that. We need some women like that are willing to serve when it doesn't matter what the outcome is. Doesn't matter what people think. Don't matter what's going on in the world. Serve God and be a lion chaser. He loved to serve David. He lived to resist the enemy. He lived to resist the enemy. I believe that if you could get in Benaiah's head, he was a man that constantly was wondering, where is the enemy coming from next? I got to keep David safe. I got to keep the king safe. Where is he coming from next? And I can imagine his mind was always working on his purpose. His purpose was to keep the man of God safe. His purpose was to stay right where the man of God wanted him to be. That was his purpose. That was where he was at. He knew his purpose. He lived to resist the enemy. And then he longed to be the best. He longed to be the best. I believe that Benaiah, he wanted not just to be the best, to put himself up on a pedestal. Because at any point, he could have overtook the king at any point. Because I believe he was that strong. And we're going to see that in just a minute, how strong Benaiah really was. And how much of a fighter he really was. We're going to look at that. But he longed to be the best. I could imagine that he probably trained a lot. He got in there and trained and was ready and done what he was supposed to do. That's what I believe Benaiah done. He was ready when those lions came. He was ready. He was ready. So let's look at this right here real quick. And I may not be long tonight, but I believe I'm right where the Lord wants me to be. But he was a man of valor because of his company, because of his cause. And here's where I really want to get. I'm going to settle here for a few minutes. Because of his conflicts. Because of his conflicts. That's what makes us. Well, how do we act when our backs are in the wall? When we're against the wall and the whole world is coming on to us, how do we react to that? How do we do that? You know what Benaiah done? He became a lion chaser. He became a lion chaser. Let me read this to you real quick. The Lion Chaser's Manifesto. The Lion Chaser's Manifesto. Let me read this to you. Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Run to the roar. Set God-sized goals. Pursue God-given passions. Go after a dream that is destined to fail. Without divine intervention, stop pointing out problems, become part of the solution. Stop repeating the past and start creating the future. Face your fears. Fight for your dreams. Grab opportunity by the mane and don't let go. Live like today is the first day and the last day of your life. Burn sinful bridges. Blaze new trails. Listen to this right here. This is a good one. Live for the applause of nail-scarred hands. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Dare to fail. Dare to be different. Quit holding out. Quit holding back. Quit running away and start chasing that line. Start chasing that line. And before you get into it, you say, what are you talking about when you say start chasing that line? That line today, I want you to think that that line is this right here. Anything that you desire in life, anything that you do in life, a career, sports, a job, whatever it is in your life that you're doing right now, what is that that you're chasing after? You could be chasing after the wrong lion. There's a few lions that we all chase at, and Benaiah chased after some. And we're going to look at some. Some of these lions that we shouldn't be chasing after, and the lion that we should be chasing after, which is the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's the one we should be chasing after. So I want to ask you this question tonight. What lion are you chasing? What lion are you chasing? I know for many years I chased the lion of a professional baseball player. That was the lion I wanted to chase. You know, I trained so hard to be the best pitcher that I could possibly be. I mean, I'd spend hours on top of hours just thinking of different ways to hold a pitch so that the ball could move a millimeter. You know, I mean, all that right there, just to win a ball game, just to have my name put in lights, just to have my name put in a newspaper. And you know what? The greatest day of my life when I realized that it wasn't about me. The greatest day of my life was when I realized it has nothing to do with me. Then the greatest day of my Christian life was the day I realized it had nothing to do with me. It all has to do with the Lord. It's all about bragging on God. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Our lives should be, the line we should chase after should be that line of lifting up the Lord so that He'll draw all men unto Him. And if you notice that, there's nothing we're doing in our power. Even what we're bragging on is bragging on what God done. When we're lifting Him up, it's only what God... We need to chase after that line. We need to chase after that line and get back up here where we're at. Let's look at some of His conflicts. Some of His conflicts. Number one, look at this right here. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. Two lion-like men of Moab. Now, if you look at your perversions of the Bible, your other perversions of the Bible, if you want to look at it that way, they will actually put this as... men, if you study it out, that they actually put them in there that they were a creature that was half lion and half man. But that's not what the Bible says. That is not what the King James Bible says. It is lion-like men. And I know that's something real simple and real small, but I don't want nothing real simple and real strong, small wrong with my Bible. That's just another reason why I use the King James Bible. And if I ever stand with anything other than that, it ain't me. That's all I can say. It ain't me. But it was he slew two lion-like men of Moab. And I got to thinking about that, two lion-like men of Moab. I got to thinking about that. And them lion-like men, they were men. You know what they were? They were just men with flesh. They were men with flesh. I believe that this right here is showing us that Benaiah chased after that lion of the flesh and destroyed it. He killed it. Killed it dead. You know what we need to do tonight? We need some men that are willing to chase the lion of the flesh and kill it. Not chase the lion of the flesh for the desires of the flesh and the wills of the flesh and what the flesh wants. We need to chase that lion. Let that lion, chase that lion down and kill it. Get rid of them things in your life that pulls you down. If your cell phone is what bothers you, if your cell phone is what gets you down, get rid of it. We made it how many years without it? I mean, we made it. We made it. I mean, think about that. I don't know when the first cell phone came out. I don't know when today, but I know it was at least 1900 years we went without them. Probably 1980 years, 70 years, something like that. I don't know the exact numbers on it, but we went without. We don't have to have them. We don't need them. We've trained our bodies and trained our minds so much that we have to know where our family is. You know what? We would probably show more faith if we would just turn that phone off through the day. Throw it to the show more faith. Say, Lord, I'm just going to put the whole family in your hand. I ain't got to watch Life 360 to make sure they're okay. It's in your hands, God. It's in your hand. I'm just as guilty as anybody on that one. I stare at Life 360. Was Morgan all right? Where's she at? All right, she's good. She's driving. Morgan, this morning, Marco Polo's me this morning. No, it was last night. It was last night after Bible college. I went and picked up Colt. He stayed at my mom and dad's house, and I went and picked him up. And Morgan was checking in on me on my way home. She said, well, it shows you in the middle of a field. She said, I just didn't want to make sure you didn't wreck and end up in the middle of the field somewhere. And I said, no, I'm pulling in the driveway right now. But if we would just throw them phones to the side sometimes, maybe we'd just show more faith. Maybe God, what if the next revival is one click of the turning the phone off away? What if the next revival is that away? What if that's the case? I know we use it as our livelihood, but we got to destroy that flesh. A lot of times we'll take these and say, oh, they're tools. They're tools. I'm using it as a tool. But how many times very quickly does that tool go away and we're straight as a toy? Here we go, as a toy. I mean, you know how it's been, if you'll challenge yourself to turn Facebook off without deleting the app, you will pull that up, you'll hit, just out of habit, you'll open your phone and click on it. Out of habit. Just without, you, I'm not, I, no. You close your eyes real quick and close it. You know, I mean, I didn't see it, nope. We got to chase after that flesh and kill it. God wants us to kill that flesh. I'm not saying kill ourselves, but what I'm saying is anything that gets us away from the will of God, anything that gets us out of the house of God, anything that gets us out of doing what God wants us to do, we need to cut it out. Cut it out. It ain't worth it. I'm here to tell you, just that cell phone or that sin that you can't let go of, it is not worth seeing a loved one die and go to hell over. It's not worth it. Here it is. It's not worth making that boss man happy and watching somebody die and go to hell. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. We got to chase after that flesh and kill it. In Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, Paul is talking about sin. And we learn during these verses here that the heart of every sin is I. And if you spell sin out, what's the middle letter? I am at the heart of every sin. It's not my mom and daddy's fault that I sin. It's not my past fault that sin. Here's the thing. If you're chasing after that line, and that line you're chasing after is that you've been, I wasn't raised like this person was. I wasn't raised like that person. You need to chase that line down, and you need to kill it tonight. You need to kill that line tonight. If that line is doubt, kill it. If that whatever that lion is tonight, you need to kill it. It's my challenge to you tonight. Kill that lion. Chase it down and kill it. We see that he slew two lions like men of Moab, and I believe that's the type of the flesh. He went and chased after it and killed the flesh. Look right here. Then he slew an Egyptian giant. An Egyptian giant. I got to thinking about that Egyptian giant. Imagine what the world during this time was thinking of Egypt. I mean, I believe, in my opinion, Egypt's got it all. I mean, just look at some of the tombs that they've uncovered. Look at what kind of jewels and stuff that they keep inside these. King Tut, he had a ton of stuff. I mean, if you tried to bury me with everything I had, my tomb wouldn't be a third that big. I mean, geez, and he was, how many years? How many years ago? You know what I'm saying? They probably looked at them and seen them and said, man, that's living. That's living the life right there. I'd like to be a part of that. I'd like to be a part of that. I believe that Egyptian giant right there is the type of the world. I believe it's a lion that he chased after and he killed the world. He said, I don't want this world. I don't want the things of this world. I don't want the desires of this world. I'm going to chase it down and I'm going to kill it. Anybody could have went and killed that giant that day. Anybody could have, but Nye said, I'll do it. Just like anybody could have stepped up and killed, anybody filled up with the Holy Spirit like David was could have went and killed the giant. But David was the one that said, I will. David was the one that said, God's just looking for somebody that says, I'll turn the world away. I'll chase that lion down and I'll kill it. That desire to have the things of the world, I'll chase it down and I'll kill it. It'll be done. And that's what the Lord wants. The Lord is seeking somebody like that. The Lord is seeking a lion chaser to chase down and destroy anything that keeps a person from being what God is, what God wants them to be. Chase them down and kill them. That Egyptian, he went down there. I thought about that. That Egyptian had a spear. And I don't know what the spears would have looked back in that day, but knowing what he would have had to do with that spear, it's probably pretty intense. I've watched enough Forge and Fire to see them spears of the old days that them things were wicked. And that spear that he had that he was facing that day, that thing was probably a beast. And that man, that giant that he went and faced, he went down there and just plucked it out. He didn't have no fears. He didn't have no worries. He just done it. And that's what we got to do. The Bible says right here in 1 John 2. Let me flip over here real quick. 1 John 2, chapter number 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world. Love not the world. If you're lying today, is that love of the world, chase it down and kill it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, listen to this, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not the Father, but it is of the world. What if, here's my question, what if Eve would have seen that serpent and instead of chasing after it and taking that fruit of her own desire, what if she would have killed it right then? What if she would have said, Adam, a snake! What if she would have just killed it and Adam could have killed it? What if? What would have happened? What would the world look like if she would have just killed sin right then? Right then. She had the ability and you have the ability. That sin comes up, that desire of this world, kill it. Don't let it set in salt. Don't let it sit there. Kill it. Youngins, if there's something right now that's holding you back from serving God that is not the things of the God, kill it. If it's not there, if it's keeping you from going to the house of God, let me give it this way. If you're at the house of God and it's keeping your mind out of the house of God, kill it. You need to kill it right then. That's what we got to chase after and do it. Then we see this right here. We see that he slew that lion in the time of snow. Oh, that was that time of that right there was amazing to me. Not only did he kill the lion, but he done it in a time where his footing would have been at its worst. That lion could have been killed at any time. We know snow comes, snow goes. It very rarely does it hang around for a very long amount of time. He didn't let it hang around. He went and he said, yeah, it's out there, it's hiding in a pit out there, but there's some families that it could hurt. There's some of my loved ones that lion could get. And I believe that lion right there was showing us of the devil and how the devil works. He was sitting there in his pit. What does the Bible say in 1 Peter 5:8? He's like a lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I believe he was sitting in that pit waiting on his next meal. He was waiting on his next meal. And I was trying to get my mind in that lion's head. I bet he heard Benaiah's footsteps. Oh, I've got this one. This one's mine. I'm going to get this one. But he grabbed on something he couldn't hold on to. And Benaiah killed him. And I'm here to tell you, if you're filled up with the Holy Spirit, you got God on your side, and Satan tries to grab a hold of you, oh, friend, let me tell you right now, you got enough power just in the words of God to destroy that Satan right then, destroy that lion, and kill that lion right then. You got every bit of that power. Youngins, if you're at that party, and they bring out that alcohol, and you think, oh, I can't resist, they're going to make fun of me. Oh, no, let me tell you right now, there's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. He knew where you was going to be at, and he said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. All you have to do is say, Lord, here I am, and that Satan will flee from you, and you tell that person no. You look at him and say, no, I don't want it. And I promise you, at that time, it won't look right. That lion will look beautiful. That lion will look, the lion of taking that first sip will look gorgeous. Be the best thing that you could ever do. But the best thing you could do is chase it down, kill it. Chase it down and kill it. With the power of God, not your power, but in the power of God, you can kill it. You can kill that lion. His feet, I was thinking about when he went in and to attack it, that snow, his feet would have been slippery. His feet would have been slippery. And you know what? Sometimes this world, it'll get slippery. You know what? Even as a child of God, there's times that it just seems like I'm just one choice away from losing it all. And you know what? You really are. I believe in the time we live in, it's easier now than it's ever been. I mean, how many things is just at the end of our fingertips that we can get a hold of? How many things is that? How many things that we can just, drugs in school when I was in like middle school, you didn't hear of drugs. And now how many middle schoolers are on drugs? Using them, selling them. I remember when I went into high school and the first kid got busted with pot. And it was like, holy cow, somebody, what is this? And now it's just, oh, well, that person got arrested again. It's so simple today for us to get our hands on it. But we got to chase it down and we got to kill it. So what lion are you chasing? Are you chasing that lion of the flesh? Are you chasing the lion of this world? Are you chasing the lion that is Satan himself? Or are you chasing that lion that is in Revelation chapter number 5? That lion of the tribe of Judah. If there's any lion in this world that you need to chase after, find out as much about Jesus as you can find out. Get a hold of him. Get a hold of this Bible and love on it. And that's chasing him. I was thinking about some lion chasers. What makes a good lion chaser? So I looked and I Googled modern day heroes. Nothing. You can't find nothing on a modern-day hero in real life. If it is, it's some pink-haired kid with a gay pride flag. That's the heroes of this world. Somebody comes out of the closet on Facebook, they're praised. Somebody says, oh, I'm gay. We can all be who we need to be. It's not what my Bible teaches. It's not what my Bible teaches. It's a sin and it's wrong. It's a sin and it's wrong. And that's what we need to call it. Chase after and kill him. I was thinking about that. And I thought about some biblical lion chasers. Moses, he was chasing after that lion of freedom. Noah chased after the lion of the will of God. Abraham chased after the lion of faithfulness. Elijah chased after God. Daniel chased after the promises of God. Joshua chased after war. Hezekiah chased after prayer. Samson chased after strength. Benaiah chased after lions. John the Baptist chased after being the forerunner. Jesus Christ came to chase after souls. Paul was chasing after missions. Some more modern day in our time, and not necessarily in our time, but in modern history, I think of some lion chasers. John Harper was a lion chaser. You don't know who he is. He was born May 29th, 1872. He died April 15th, 1912 is what they put this date as. But if you know anything about history, that was the day the Titanic sunk. John Harper was on the Titanic. You know what he was doing? He got his daughter to safety. He got his sister to safety. On a lifeboat, knew they were safe, and what'd he do? He turned around and started witnessing. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? There's a story about him actually taking his own life vest off. He was witnessing to a man. The man wouldn't get saved, and he threw his life vest to him and said, "You're going to need that more than I will." Story, that's a lion chaser. He was chasing after those souls. He was chasing after that burden. Look at this right here. Not only was he a lion chaser, but William Tyndale. The reason we have one reason that we have words like "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's the man that translated those words that we can read them in English today. That was a lion chaser. You say, "Well, he just wrote some words down." Yeah, but what did it cost him? He was willing to chase that lion at no matter what cost it was. He was willing to lay his life down for that cost. It ended up costing him his life. He was burned at the stake in England. He was part of the Catholic Church. He denounced the Catholic Church and wouldn't go against it. So he was anointed with oil as a child, or as a I don't know how they work. When he was younger, he was anointed with oil in his hands, and they took a razor blade and scraped the oil off his hands. All because he pinned down these words that we hold today. He was a lion chaser. He was a lion chaser. Jim Elliot was a lion chaser. D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, Billy Graham, C.S. Lewis, Franny Crosby, John Wesley. What about Daniel Nash? You say, "Well, these were all men who died and just gave their lives for the cause." Yeah, that may happen as a lion chaser. But Daniel Nash, look what he done. He was blind. He was a blind man, but he was a private prayer warrior. One man said this right here: "It's indispensable element of an effective crusade to reach lost souls is to have a private prayer warrior." And that's what Daniel Nash was. He was mighty in prayer. William Hunter, 19 years old, was a martyr in the spring of 1555. At 19 years old, he probably should have been going to Senior Week in our age. He'd have been going to Senior Week. But what was he doing at 19 years old? He was going to stake to be burned as a martyr because he denounced the Catholic faith. He was a lion chaser. I'm going to read the manifesto one more time. "Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Run to the roar. Set God-sized goals. Pursue God-given passions. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. Stop pointing out problems. Become part of the solution. Stop repeating the past. Start creating the future. Face your fears. Fight for your dreams. Grab opportunity by the mane and don't let go. Live like today is the last day, is the first day of the last day of your life. Burn sinful bridges, blaze new trails, live for the applause of nail-scarred hands. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Dare to fail, dare to be different. Quit holding out, quit holding back, quit running away. Start chasing that lion of the tribe of Judah." Chase that lion of the tribe of Judah. I want to ask you tonight, are you going to be a lion chaser? Who's next in our history? Who's the next William Tyndale? Who is the next John Harper? Who is the next Alan Barker? Who is the next Jonathan Barker? Who are the ones that are going to blaze the trail for my son? Who are the ones that's going to blaze the trail for your kids? God didn't call a Sunday school teacher or a public school system to do it. God called us to do it, to be lion chasers. My challenge tonight is for you to be a lion chaser. Chase after those lines. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for what you do for us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for being God. God, I pray, God, that you would touch our hearts, God, challenge our hearts, God, to be lion chasers, God. Not to chase after the lion of this world, but to chase after that lion of the tribe of Judah. God, I pray, God, you've challenged my heart in studying this, God. God, and I thank you, Lord, for it, God. I just hope it gets to the hearts of the listeners, God. But God, most importantly, if there's somebody here listening, God, that don't know you as their personal Savior, God, I pray, God, wherever they're at in their homes, God, that they'll just find somewhere to get and ask you into their heart to save them. God, all they got to do is call on you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a great promise, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for it. God, we thank you for everything you do. Thank you for everything you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.